Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Here are some people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
That we're only gonna bring this to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in. Today we have a very special show. If you have been following the show, the past couple of shows, then you are aware that this month is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. If you haven't listened to the past couple of shows, I encourage you, when you get a chance, after this one, of course, to listen to the previous interviews, which are Down Syndrome Research with Dr. Stephanie Sherman and Reading in Down Syndrome with Terry Brown. Really great shows, and today is going to be a great show as well. As an advocate and parent of a 10-year-old with Down syndrome, I'm always excited to learn about all the possibilities for individuals, not just with Down syndrome, but for individuals in the special needs community as a whole. Since I've had Zion, I've seen a lot of different changes. Specifically today, I want to just mention that the changes that I've been seeing for people with Down syndrome in movies and film, and one of the reasons for this is our special guest today, Gail Ford Williamson, the founder and director of Down Syndrome in Arts and Media, an organization that serves as a casting liaison service for individuals with Down syndrome and other developmental disabilities who want to be actors and models. Also, you know, as Ms. Gail Ford Williamson has been providing this service for over 20 years. She also provides support to productions, including script consultation on issues of Down syndrome and other developmental disabilities. She travels and speaks to organizations about the media and its advocacy for the community with developmental disabilities. And let me welcome my guest.
Hi,
welcome,
thanks.
And thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I'm so pleased to be with you, Yvonne.
I'm really looking forward to talking to you. I've been, of course, looking at your website and looking at all the different things that you do. And first, I want to say, you know, thank you for seeing that this is something that needed to be done, and you jumped in there and did it. My first question is, what inspired you to start Down Syndrome in Arts and Media?
Well, you know, the first images I saw of anyone with Down syndrome on television when I was a new young mom, it was very hopeful for me and very, very exciting to see. I actually looked up the other day that one of the first shows I saw was an Airwolf with a young man, Ricky Whitman, and I just posted it yesterday on my Facebook page because it's just a wonderful little. It just shows you the amazing things someone with Down syndrome can do in 1985. That was not what we were hearing about Down syndrome yet. You know, when my son was born, there were very few books, very little information. And to see this and to see how fast people knew what Down syndrome was when it was on television just impressed me. So about the time my son Blair was was 10, Life Goes On came on the air with Chris Burke. Many of your listeners might remember that. He played a character, Corky. And I had said to my son, oh, look, you know, you're going to grow up and be like Corky. And he said, oh, no, I don't think so. You know, my dad's Down syndrome went away. My brother's Down syndrome went away. I didn't realize I hadn't given my son adult role models with Down syndrome, and he just assumed that every male must have had it, and it went away at some age. So I saw the importance of this show then in my son's life because I hadn't sought out those role models for him. And after a few weeks into the show, Blair saw a life for himself as he grew older and felt very comfortable with that. And it sort of was a new beginning, a birth of a new experience for him. And then on top of that, about 2 years after the show started airing, I noticed that the world was starting to change. When we'd go out to eat, instead of the waiter asking my husband and I what Blair would like to eat, they'd actually turn to him and say, what would you like to eat? Which was phenomenal. I saw the power of the media. I saw how it changed opinions. And I thought, wow, I have an opportunity to be a part of that because my son, in the meantime, had a commercial. And through that, I looked for more work for him and found an organization where I volunteered and developed a children's division. And it just has sort of tumbleweeded down the road from there and become what it is today.
Wow. Wow. And I absolutely agree that, you know, the more people are exposed and they become a little more receptive, and especially then, like you were saying, the show that was like in the 80s, it was unheard of. The acceptance of individuals with disabilities weren't as popular, so to speak.
Yeah. And you know, we look to entertainment. You know, everybody wants to be entertained. They want to turn on the TV. You know, why shouldn't these kids with disabilities see someone that looks like them? And why shouldn't we use it as a vehicle to teach? I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity to teach in a very passive, non-aggressive way, to just say, hey, it's okay to have someone with Down syndrome in your group. I mean, we look at currently Lauren Potter on Glee as Becky Jackson. And
yeah.
I don't know if you get the Google alerts for Down syndrome every day, but, you know, here in the spring, everybody was going to the prom. Everybody was a prom king or a prom queen with Down syndrome. Now suddenly everybody's a homecoming king or a homecoming queen. And 2 years ago, that wasn't happening. But two years ago, Ryan Murphy hadn't spent 4 years telling us it's okay for someone with Down syndrome to be in your circle of friends on your high school campus.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've absolutely seen a major, major change. I slightly touched on it in the introduction, but could you share with us the type of services that your organization, Down Syndrome and Arts and Media, offers?
Sure. I sort of do talent development in that I help people with what kind of picture I need for a headshot, and I help them with what kind of resume I need to get them started. So it kind of introduces the individuals, the parents, the child, the adult who wants to be an actor, to what the business is about a little bit. And then I have a casting liaison that they're in, and I get calls from all over. I get calls from around the world. I've cast in the UK, Australia, and Canada, as well as the U.S., and I've cast in many states in the U.S. In fact, anybody listening with a young adult male in New York, I need one very badly with Down syndrome for a project coming up. But so I have these opportunities, and I always tell my clients, you have to be registered to be found. There's no chance you'll be found if you're not here. But just in case something comes up in your community, you will be found if you're here and ready to go. So I've got that going on, but I also work a lot with the industry. I spend time consulting with writers if they're in the beginning of stories. I've actually taken writers before. I had a writer who was doing a Law and Order Special Victims Unit, and he wanted to know everyone a woman in a day program would be in, and a day in work program would be with during the day, everyone she would meet, so they could develop who was the criminal that affected her. And so I took him to a day program, and we met everybody there. He left with everybody's business card, so he knew there were job coaches, and he knew there were caregivers, and he knew that, you know, who everybody was, so that he could go back and construct this story. So I do everything from that to I've done work on set where I've been the sort of the liaison for the individual with Down syndrome. I worked on several Touched by an Angels with Chris Burke. And, in fact, when I was hired originally, I was hired to work with Andrea Friedman and Jason Kingsley, who are both wonderful actors with Down syndrome. And Chris Burke happened to be also cast. And they said, but you don't have to work with Chris. Chris is a professional. He doesn't need you. Don't worry about that. And I thought, well, you know, neither do Jason or Andrea. They're both professionals, too, but I'm not going to rock the boat. Great, I'll just show up. And so this is the first time I've ever met Chris, even though he had impacted my son's life in such a dramatic way.
Yeah.
And so they had Chris standing talking to Della Reese, and she was sitting in that old, I think it's a Cadillac, big red convertible that they had her drive on that show. And she's sitting in it, and it's supposed to be a warm spring day in Ohio, but actually it's a very cold snow on the ground day in Utah. And so Chris is standing there in a short sleeve shirt and slacks talking to Della, and you can't see the ground to see that he's standing in snow. And he could not get his lines out. And Chris always does. He's spot on. He has a photographic memory. He never misses a line. And he just couldn't pull it together. And I said to the director, if you'd give me time to warm him up so his brain can function without being cold, I think I can get him to do this for you. Took him in, warmed him up, got him back out there. First take, beautiful. He had the whole thing done down and saved them mountains of time. And after that, I had a call time with Chris every time. So that's my experience on set with with
wow.
talent. Just those little things that we as moms know about Down syndrome that, you know,
yeah.
a PA and a director and a, you know, they're not going to know. And I can just say, oh, wait, we can fix that really quickly. And a lot of our guys do work with on-set coaches. Luke Zimmerman, who is on The Secret Life of an American Teenager, he has someone with him every day from Performing Arts Studio West. That's his studio coach. So, but that's kind of what I do. I do just about anything that has to do with the entertainment industry. I spend a lot of time trying to get advocacy out there and images in my own right. I mean, I want to impact story. I want to go and say,
yeah.
hey, there's a great story going on with what they're doing, you know, medically for people with Down syndrome right now. You need to tell that on this show.
Yeah.
As well as I've been making a lot of noise now about Robin Trokey, our beautiful woman who played Jean Sylvester on Glee. She was written out of the show. They had her pass away on the show. But the real reason that Robin was written out is that she has Alzheimer's now. And so we've been doing a lot of work to get pictures of Robin out to say, look, this is the face of Alzheimer's and Down syndrome. You know, you need to be aware. We need more NIH money going to do this kind of research.
Yeah.
And so it's just...
Yeah.
I think we can impact every aspect of Down syndrome by just putting people in the media with it.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. It seems like people are more receptive to the information when it's given to them in a creative way versus, you know, someone just feeding them all this information, you know. Just seeing individuals with, you know, Down syndrome. And it's inspirational to parents as well, you know, to
yes.
see. And, you know, it kind of helps eliminate the stigma that a lot of parents have as well, or a lot of professionals in the industry
mm-hmm.
in reference to Down syndrome. And we mentioned in the... earlier about the changes that has happened over the years. I know for me, I've had Zion for 10 years now,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen a lot of different changes. Some people seem to be a little more receptive because of these changes, but because of the stigma people have about the abilities of individuals with Down syndrome, what has been the most challenging with placing actors and entertainers with special needs on shows?
Well, you know, if the show has a story about Down syndrome or another developmental disability and that story moves the show forward, they're very happy to work with you. You know, any kind of accommodations they might need to make, they're happy to make. But it's really not a whole lot of accommodations. They come to set knowing their lines. They do a couple rehearsals and they can hit their marks. and they're professionals. They're absolute professionals. But I insist that people with Down syndrome are trained to be a professional actors from birth. We take one look at their face and we go, oh, you need to be in early intervention, and we get you to see a PT and an OT and a speech therapist and a this and a that. And those guys are all just directors to them. They're just directing the kids on what to do. And sometimes they want to film it for documentation, and they don't want the kid to pay attention to the camera, so they put a camera on them. And quite often they have them doing the same task over and over and over again while they're documenting. So, you know, that's acting. So our kids are trained from the very beginning, so they can come on set and do quite a good job. It's pretty phenomenal. I think the biggest challenge is getting the producers and the showrunners and the writers to open and the casting directors and the, you know, to open their minds that in this family just appears in the show and they're the neighbors and the kids are just there. Well, why couldn't one of the kids have Down syndrome? Why does Down syndrome have to push the story forward to be included? Maybe you're doing a story in a grocery store. Well, you know what? If it was going to look really typical, you would have at least one bagger with Down syndrome in that group.
Yeah.
I think one of the hardest places for me to break in my talent is background performers. They, you know, unless they're doing a special ed classroom, that's it. I said to the people who do Glee, I said, well, you know, if you've got a student with Down syndrome on that campus, I bet there's more than one. I bet your background performers, we could throw a couple of people with Down syndrome in. Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they think it has to move the story forward. Years ago when Blair was like,
I think the call dropped. I'm going to wait for her to call back in. While we wait, I just want to kind of go over, you know, different things that are happening in the special needs community as far as, or kind of elaborate on what we were saying as far as individuals with various disabilities being in film and being in TV, and I think we have her back. Hold on 1 second.
Gail, I'm here. Boy, I got a big loud noise, and then I was gone.
No.
Anyway, I think I was starting to tell you that at one point I had a conversation with a casting director, and Blair was about 14, and he was saying, well, you know, the producers never ask for people with disabilities. You know, we don't want to bring them people that they don't want. But if I would get some, I would consider it. You know, if I would get some people submitted from talent agents, I would consider it. And I said, okay. So, and he cast big commercials. And I said, so you're casting a McDonald's commercial, and you need a 14-year-old boy with brown hair and blue eyes, and my son's talent agent sends it in. You would consider putting him in the commercial with the family eating at McDonald's? And he said, oh, well, no, because people would wonder why he was there. And I said, well, you know what?
Wow.
I take him to McDonald's when he's hungry.
Right.
That's why I take him there.
To eat. That's why he's there.
This guy had no clue what he had just said. It so was over his head. He had no idea that he'd said, oh, yes, I'll take them. And then he said, oh, no, because people would wonder why he was there. Well, geez, you know. He's hungry for pizza.
To eat.
So it's just opening the minds. One of the nice things is our new generation of producers and directors and writers, they actually went to school with full inclusion. So they may have known people with disabilities. So I think we're going to open a few more doors, and I think that's why – I mean, I think there's a few reasons we see more doors open right now. One is I think that generation is now writing and aware that people with disabilities exist. And two, when it comes to Down syndrome, we've made it pretty easy for them to find talented and good actors that are taking training and are learning their craft. And so they know they can put them to work. So I think there's both sides are creating this sort of bubble of Down syndrome that we're seeing included now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm really fascinated and I'm loving the idea of, and you made a good point about the younger generation incorporate, because they do see them as a part of their community more now than the older producers mm-hmm. and directors where a lot of kids with special needs or adults with special needs were excluded.
Yes.
You know, so in their mind, it does make sense where why they're not in the background, because they didn't see them in the background. As a writer, they normally write what they typically see, mm-hmm. which I like the idea of them, you know, and I think they're going to start opening up more. But I agree that the younger generation is going to open a lot more doors for special needs, and it's amazing to me that the only, you know, you, I didn't even think about that until you brought it up, that they're like, okay, the only way we'll include them if they move the story along, and that's kind of got me stumped right now, like, really?
But you can
really?
See it, can't you? I mean, where they're
you can't
not
eat
like
at McDonald's.
Yeah. Well, but you can see where they've stepped away from it a little. You know, you look at Glee, you look at Becky Jackson. You know, she's
yeah.
not necessarily moving a story forward. Her Down syndrome is not moving the story forward.
Uh-huh.
She's just there included. Jamie Brewer in American Horror Story. You know, she was creepy like everybody else on that show. The Down syndrome
yeah.
didn't move it forward. So Ryan Murphy gets it. You know, somehow the light bulb went on in his head for us, and he's writing for us, and he's writing beautifully for us.
Yeah,
but,
I noticed that.
We just need more people to get it. And he doesn't even have, you know, he says, you know, I'm not related to anyone with it. I just see them as underdogs, and I was an underdog for, you know, who I was in high school, and I just want to see the underdogs championed a little bit.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think we kind of, and I wanted to ask what specifically have you seen, and I think you kind of answered that already, about the different changes that you've seen in this, you know, involving special needs with film and TV and all of that. Naturally, so I want to move on to the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, as parents, we're protective of our children, but parents of a special needs child, a child with special needs, we tend to, and I'm speaking from my experience and other parents that I've spoken with, that we tend to be a little more protective over our kids for various reasons. Let's say a parent is approached, or they decide they want to have their child audition for film or TV, and maybe their city or state or wherever they're located, they saw a casting call or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things they need to look for?
Well, first, it's interesting. If you just see something in your local area, you know, chances are you're not going to be able to ask to see a script or know what it's about and that kind of thing. So I would say this is when you just deal with your gut. You know, you do what you do, and you know, if you're going in on an open call audition with a bunch of other typical children, just make sure you have a nice picture of your child and you know all their measurements when you get there, because they're going to give you something to fill out probably that asks for it. And, you know, if you have a resume and a headshot, take it. If not, at least have a photo with you. And if it's something you're not comfortable with, you can walk away. You know, there's no obligation. When Blair did his first commercial, my son was running 400 meters in Special Olympics at age 10, and they needed a little boy for a commercial who could run. And so he went on an audition with all these other boys, and all they did was run in the park the first time. They just videotaped them running in the park.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. And so then we got a call back. And the callback was at a very busy studio that had a lot of little studios off of this main area. And the main area was full of people, and it was kind of smelled like a gym. It was not a fun place to be. And I was
yeah.
sitting there with Blair, and I was thinking, this is what they say when it's a meat market, and they're just selling you, you know. I think we'll leave. I don't think I want to stay and do this. And I'm talking myself into getting up and leaving. And they call Blair's name, and he runs in, happy as a lark. You know, and the door shuts, and I'm still sitting there in the cruddy room with all the zillions of people doing all different auditions. And he comes out with a basketball and a trophy, and, oh, they loved me, da-da-da-da. He had such a good time. It didn't matter what happened after this, you know.
Yeah.
I came home to my husband, and I said, I'm so happy for him. I wanted to leave, and they took him in that room and made him feel like $1 million. His self-esteem went through the ceiling from doing that audition. And then, lo and behold, he got the role. And I truly think he got it because it took a full 4 hours of running to get the 15 seconds of running that they wanted for the commercial. And
yeah.
I think they knew he had the endurance to do it.
Yeah.
So, but so it's, you know, as long as your child is happy and there's and it's you see good things coming from it, this self-esteem, you know, not many kids with Down syndrome get that wonderful kind of acceptance. You know, when you walk into an audition and they want you to have Down syndrome, that's pretty exciting because most
yeah.
people want you not to have it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of
yeah.
like your first real acceptance. And it's just, it's an amazing time for the child. Blair did a film, and we spent a month in Nebraska with the whole crew in a hotel. And he was about 14. And I remember just going, oh, I can just let go. He's supposed to have Down syndrome. Everybody knows he has Down syndrome. Everybody enjoys that part of him. I didn't have to be intervening ever. And he grew up so much in that month in Nebraska at 14 because I could give him keys to the room to go and come, which I wouldn't have done in L.A., but we were
yeah.
in this wonderful protected environment, and he was taught so many wonderful independent skills. So, you know, you just have to feel it out. I've never heard of anybody not being on a set that they didn't have a fabulous time and really, really impact the lives of the individuals they worked with, even on student films where they forgot the film and they have to go back and get it and you have to wait. You know, everybody's
yeah.
had a good time. So most of them are excellent, you know, but I look at scripts. I tell people I need to see them. I need to know what's going on. I can't send somebody on something that's going to be degrading or, and then there's things now that are controversial. You know, okay, they're using the R word, but they're using it to say it's not appropriate to use it. So do you want to be in that? You know, one of my
yeah.
guys who does speaking engagements, somebody said to his speaking agent, well, we don't want him because he was in that show where they used the R word. It was like, but he was, you know, he was there and they were showing that it's not appropriate to use the R word by using it.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't limit what he can, don't limit what he can do just because you heard he was in a show where the R word appeared. You know, check it out. So, and you know what? I have one job last week that nobody took. Nobody wanted it because of how they were referring to the individual. And I always give them the choice. I try not to. If something's wrong, I'll go back to a producer and go, it's really wrong. Like on a family law one time, I said, this kid would not understand and comprehend and grasp all this that he's grasping. You know, you need to make this more simple. And they said, great, how do we do that? So that was wrong. You know, somebody with Down syndrome, my 16-year-olds didn't have the deduction skills that this 10-year-old was going to have who had Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And so, so we worked that out. But if it's just the flavor and how somebody's going to feel about it, you know, I don't go back at that. I just give it to the parents and the individuals and let them decide if it's something they want to do or not. I can't start being the censor police. And, you know, I've got to let people have opportunities because different people have different views about what is and isn't appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let's say a parent like myself or one of the parents listening, they want to put their child in acting classes, but at the time, you know, maybe they can't afford it or they're having problems finding an acting coach that is, you know, patient or skilled to work with kids or adults with special needs. What would you suggest they do?
First of all, go down the line. You know, you don't have to go to the local acting school. You know, a Parks and Rec program might be just fine for you, for your child. So do check those out as well. But I would say role play with your child. Role play whenever you can. If they come home from school and they had a bad day, you say, okay, I'm going to be you be the teacher, and you role play and see what the teacher said. You're going to learn a lot, and your child's going to get to share their emotions and their feelings. And you're going to get to role play. You know, let's pretend we're a dog. Let's pretend we're the mailman. Let's, you know, any of those kind of things is a wonderful training tool, especially for little ones that are really too young to be in an acting class and really be able to function there. Improv with one another as those characters. Sometimes Blair will say something and I'll come back at him in a whole different tone and he'll realize it's a game and he'll come back at me and it's, you know, it's a give and take where
yeah.
we're just playing off each other. The other thing is, this is something we did with Blair quite by accident. Blair had a lot of problems with asthma when he was little, and I worked for a psychotherapist at the time who said, you know, a lot of the asthma patients I have just don't know how to share their emotions. Why don't you talk to Blair about what he's feeling when he has asthma and see if you can work that out? Well, we started saying, just for the fun of it, show me your happy face, show me your sad face, show me your angry face. Pretty soon we were saying, show me your confused face. And going, and Blair was understanding that body language said something, that he could express something to us with his body language. Show me you're really angry. You know, you take a stance and you cross your arms and you pierce your lips, you know, as opposed to show me you're really happy. And that was an interesting concept that we really went about for a medical reason, but it ended up being, you know, a reason that probably got him acting at such a young age, just because he truly understood that his appearance would portray an emotion to us.
Yeah, and I noticed, too, like with Zion, and I was talking to a couple of other parents about it as well. I know Zion will watch something over and over and over until he
knows all the lines.
Memorize it.
Yes. He's got the tail on the chromosome.
Yeah, it's like he'll at first I didn't understand why he was watching it over and over until I notice that he will know each person line or what they're getting ready to do next, and he'll tell us what's getting ready to happen or what happens in the episode. And I'm like blown away, like, oh my God, he's like really memorizing. He does that with music as well. And I'm just totally, so when you were saying that, you know, they start off at a really early age, with acting, but we don't see it as acting at the time, with the memorizing and you know, and sometimes Zion will mimic somebody. He'll be playing and mimic somebody, and I'm like, he's really good. So I do want to kind of, but when I talk to other parents, their experience is the same, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, and then there's some that don't have it at all. But majority have this innate ability.
Why do you, and that brings me to my next question, why do you suppose so many people with Down syndrome and other developmental disabilities want to be actors and entertainers?
Well, I think you answered that for us. Basically, I remember my son getting on a stage with a mic in his hand at 4, and he was no words could you understand, but he was preaching.
Yeah,
he was preaching, and his hand motions and his body. He had watched our pastor, and he was preaching, and everyone was just dying laughing at him because he was so funny and he was so right on. But it's that mimic. They can mimic anything. They're such visual learners. And yes, if they didn't catch it the first time, they'll play it over and over and over again. And you know what else? And each time, if there's like a race or a competition in it, they will cheer that competition as if they'd never seen it before.
They
are in the moment. And where do actors have to be? Present in the moment.
Yeah.
And our guys are there. They're right there all the time. No, and like I said, there's some that aren't. What I have to find is a child that's got it, a parent who wants to help them share it, and, you know, at the same time. Because I can get a parent who really wants their kid to be an actor, and the kid does not have it. Or I can get a kid that really wants to do it, and I've got some that are adults, but they can't get the support from home to get them to auditions and to make sure that they can get to work and that kind of stuff. So it's finding that combination. But yes, they just have it. Some of them, we call it the tail on the extra chromosome. We just the entertainment tail on the chromosome, just to be funny. Because it's there. It's absolutely there. And it's so cute because parents call me all the time, and especially parents from somewhere where they don't have a large group of children with Down syndrome to be around. So they'll call me and they'll go, well, my child is just so amazing. You know, if they have a hairbrush in their hand, it's a microphone. And I'm like, I know. You don't even have to tell me this story. They're going, no, I have to tell you about my child. And it's like, yeah, I know, but everybody tells the same story.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And the minute the parent opens their mouth, I can tell if the child's got it or not from the way the parent starts to talk about them.
Yeah, and he loves cameras. He loves.
Yes.
Just say Zion pose, and he just. Mm-hmm. We did a photo shoot. I did a photo shoot with him when I first started HYH Online, and he didn't have to get directed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on how to pose, he just started posing.
Yep.
Yep.
You know.
Where
so,
does that
I
come
mean,
from?
I'm just, I'm like, wow, he acts like he's done this before.
Well, when the researchers, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead. When the researchers,
I was gonna say, when the researchers figure, you know, they figure out how to block the gene that causes the cognitive delay, and they figure out how to stop the Alzheimer's. Then we're gonna have to figure out where to find that entertainment gene, because it's got to be in the DNA. It just has.
Yeah. And speaking of that, why is it? If a parent recognize that their child has this ability and passion to want to act, what are some things they can start doing to prepare themselves or their child?
Well, some of the things we talked about before with role play and mm-hmm. you know, showing your emotions. But also, a lot of our guys will just play music and sing to it for hours and come up with their own routines. Give them opportunities to perform for you. You know, if you've got a local group of parents whose kids want to be actors, but you really don't have, you know, the facilities to put together an acting class, which truly one of the parents could. But anyway, let the kids do a talent show and let them all come and you know, bring their music and bring their costumes. And of course, play the music with the words, because you know, our kids can't always get all the words, so we still want to know what the song's saying. But let them have it. I mean, my son's birthday party every year, everybody prepares for it because they know it's their chance to have a talent show in our backyard. We rent a stage, we put it up, everybody comes in and signs in with their song, and then they each take turns. And it's a big event in our backyard every birthday.
Wow.
And, you know, and
that's
it's
a good idea,
and these are
yeah.
his friends that he goes to acting class with and his friends that he doesn't go to acting class with, who get equally as excited to come and sing a song for us and wear a costume.
Yeah. Why is, you know, and that's I love it. why is it important to help people, you know, for you to help people or to help people, period, with Down syndrome and other disabilities, developmental disabilities, get cast in the entertainment industry?
Why is it important?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said? I'm trying
yes.
to. Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's,
why is it
well, it goes back to me. It's important because I think it's going to create a more inclusive world. I think when you say to the NIH, we need more money for research on Down syndrome, and there's five or six people on that committee that have seen somebody with Down syndrome on television and they have a personal relationship with them, they're going to go, you know, I can see that this would impact some lives. Okay.
Right.
Let's say yes. Let's send that money that way. I mean, just to give you an idea, while the NIH has doubled the amount of money that they put into research, they've cut in half the amount that they give to people with Down syndrome, to research on people with Down syndrome. So, you know, it's, well, why did that happen? Maybe they weren't enough in their face. Maybe they didn't know enough about them.
Yeah.
So what better way to do it than this? That and these guys have the right to make a living, and it's so fun when you take one from Social Security to self-employed, you know, and making their own medical insurance. It's thrilling to see that happen with someone with Down syndrome. It's thrilling to turn them into a good, solid taxpayer and make them do their share, you know?
Yeah.
It's the greatest gift of all. And I just feel good because I see people's self-esteem soar. I had a young man with CP that was in the movie, it was in my head and I lost it. It was a John Travolta film, and it was about he was an attorney fighting for the rights of people who'd been impacted by a power plant or something, and their children were having cancer and such. When he started the show representing a man who had been had surgery and had complications and ended up in a wheelchair, and Chris, who had CP and difficult speech and everything else, was in this wheelchair, and John Travolta rolled him in, and they did their whole little scene, and Chris looked like the pitiful victim, which is what he was supposed to do, and he'd been in a limo, and he had a jacket with the name of the show on the back, and everybody loved him, and he called me and left me a voicemail that said, basically, Gail, you gave me back my self-esteem. And I saved that on my message machine until that message machine went, because any time I got frustrated or upset, I thought, just listen to Chris's voice telling me this. And it's like, that's why I do it. That's why I make sure these guys have representation. I want every kid to turn on TV and see someone that looks like them so they know that they're a part of the community.
Right, right. What shows are on now or coming up that includes people with Down syndrome and other developmental disabilities?
Next week, next week Friday, Blue Bloods has four children with Down syndrome, and I think it's like a special ed classroom. They're just background performers, but they're featured. So
yeah,
you would see those kids. Eddie Barbanel is in town here in L.A. He just worked on another episode of Workaholics, which is sort of a sophomoric raunchy show on the Comedy Channel.
Mm-hmm.
But I recently was speaking at the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse to their adaptive PE department, and I mentioned that Eddie was in Workaholics, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew him, you know, and I thought, isn't that amazing that you know, we had to think twice about Eddie doing this because it's kind of a raunchy show, but who do we want him to reach about inclusion? You know, college campuses, those people are future employers. We want them to watch a show with someone with Down syndrome on it. So
yeah.
So Eddie's been on one episode. You can look up Workaholics and Eddie Barbanel and find that episode that he was on. He was also on The New Normal here this year. And what else is coming up? Of course, Lauren Potter has a big episode of Glee coming pretty soon. Of course, she can never tell us about it, so we don't know what it's about, but we know that she, you know, worked. We know she worked a lot of hours here recently, so
yeah.
So we're all anxious to see what's the news with Lauren. Jamie Brewer, who was on American Horror Story, is not working at this time and really working, you know, trying to get work, out there auditioning and letting it be known that she's looking for more work. And Luke Zimmerman, who's on The Secret Life, that show was just canceled. So he's working right now to finish this season, so it'll be up. But that'll be their last season, so he'll be looking for work. And there's a whole lot more. Oh, I've got the new baby on Glee is mine, and she'll be back again. They're going to do another episode with her. And then
oh, good.
I have the baby on Shameless that will appear quite a bit in the beginning of the new season of Shameless, and it'll work up to about the seventh episode. It has a big cast of people with Down syndrome on it. They have kind of like a Down syndrome rally, and so you'll see a lot of people involved then. So that's what we've got coming up. I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting news.
Yeah,
and then if anybody wants to follow these and watch them, my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/actorswithdownsyndrome with no spaces. If you do spaces, it's somebody else. No spaces. I post whenever anybody's going to be on TV there. And I post when people work, and I post when movies come out, and that way people can go and find them themselves.
Yeah. One of the things that, I'm kind of at a loss for words because I'm really not amazed. I can't think of the word, but I'm really loving to see so many different doors opening for individuals with disabilities, period.
Mm-hmm.
What does someone have to do to get in your talent files?
Oh, I'm easy. if they go to my website, which is DSIAM.org, I'm sure they'll find it on your website, right? You'll have a link for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, once on my site, there's a tab that says Join. And go to Join, and it gives you the consent form I need because I need permission to send your child's picture to complete strangers. It has how to make a beginning resume. If you have a bigger resume, if you've been working, I'll be glad to take you too. And then it tells you that I need a picture. And a picture, I do not ask for professional photos until you've actually worked or you're competing against everybody else who has professional photos. Like my adults, it's a little more important if they're here in L.A. and competing that they have a more professional shot. But I can't tell you how many of them I've just taken. And basically it's look in the camera. Just look in the camera. Let us see you can connect. And
yeah.
That's it. The other thing is, though, send me a picture of just the child. For some reason, people send me their families. You know, it's like, I'm not getting work for all of you, just the kid, you know, just
yeah,
the adult.
Yeah.
So they kind of need to be alone
and
in that
And that's
picture.
Anywhere. That's anywhere. It
yeah.
doesn't matter
yeah.
what state or
yeah.
city they live in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the only place, like I said, the headshots are important is probably California. The reason a headshot is important for some, that it be so fabulous for someone, like if they're looking for African American woman in her 20s to play an ingenue, and they put out that breakdown in Hollywood, they're probably going to get 500 photos. So you want a photo that's stellar, so that something in that photo is going to make them look twice at you.
Yeah.
Now, if they're looking for a African American woman with Down syndrome, I'm going to maybe be able to give them four. And it doesn't matter what I have, they're going to see all four, no matter what the picture looks like. So basically, all we're looking for is a good representation of you. We don't have to have that $500 setting, you know, sitting with a photographer that gives you that absolute pop of light and, you know, just the basics is all we need to get you in the door. Then when you work and make a lot of money, you can go pay for those, because then we expect you to have them to autograph and give to fans.
Yeah. So if somebody is in Atlanta, Georgia, or they're in New York, or they're in Utah,
mm-hmm.
and they want to be a part of your talent file, you take any from anywhere, from any.
Yes, and
okay.
Oddly enough, I can get jobs for anywhere. Recently, the Hallmark Hall of Fame film, Smile as Big as the Moon, was filming in South Carolina. So they said, well, send us all your guys that could 18 who could play younger, 18 or over who could play younger. So the kid that ended up with the role was from Illinois, and because all he had to do was send in a tape. They liked the tape. They flew him to South Carolina. They auditioned him. They flew him home. He packed his stuff. They flew him back to film the movie. I had two kids in Kingdom Hospital years ago, a miniseries King. Anyway, scary guy, Stephen King. Anyway, they were filming in Vancouver, and Jenny Cunningham out of Ohio and Brendan Bauer out of Oceanside got the jobs because they auditioned on tape, and then they brought them to L.A. to audition. Then they sent them up north to Vancouver to meet Stephen King, and then they sent them home to pack and took them up there for 9 months to film the series. So you just never know, you know. And Jenny Cunningham, I think, with her money, ended up putting a down payment on a condominium for herself. So it's not a bad, you know, bit of work. And I don't know that she's worked professionally again, although she still has the talent.
Yeah. Well, before we go, if you could give parents some words of encouragement that may want to, you know, put their child in, but they may be a little overprotective or maybe a little concerned, or, you know, that, you know, because the industry is scary for parents to put their kids in the industry, period, is a little scary, but if you can offer, you know, some words of encouragement for parents.
Well, you know, if a parent came to me and said, I have a typical child and I want them in the entertainment industry, I would say to them, run. No, don't do it. Let your child take as many classes as they want and tell them when they're 18 they can do it themselves. Because I've seen it just be so hard on kids, because kids, if the kids are in L.A. and they're auditioning all the time, they're not getting a chance to be kids. They're not getting a chance to play on sports. They're going to audition after audition where they're just getting rejection. On the other hand, when you have somebody with a developmental disability or Down syndrome, they may get an audition once every couple of years. May. My son's gone 3 years without auditions before. It's real easy to drop everything for once a year as opposed to every day to go and do that audition. The self-esteem from walking in that room and having three or four adults just focused on you and listen to you and want to know about you is really wonderful. The audition process is very exciting for our guys. Even when they don't get the work, the audition is so good for them as a learning tool for their whatever employment they go into someday. And then if they get to be on a set, oh, my gosh, you know, first of all, you'll have to shrink their heads when you get home because they're treated like kings and queens. Everyone loves them. Everyone caters to them. Get him juice. Get him juice. You know, it's like, oh, I'm not getting juice when he gets home. He'll have to get himself. But it's just an amazing, fun thing for them. And for the parents, you know, more and more of us, it's interesting. We all talk about just kind of standing back and letting our kids do their thing. And even if our kids are doing something that at home we might go, no. We kind of let it go there because their boss is the director. And that's who they have to listen to, and you don't want to confuse that. you can kind of guide, but we kind of walk a step behind and look like we're control when we're actually completely out of control. The child is just doing their own thing. But everybody talks about their child stepping up. I mean, when my son checks in with an AD and then he goes to hair and makeup and he turns into this different person than the kid I'm going, come on, make your bed, let's get out of here. That's not the same kid. It's like a switch flips, and everybody talks about it. And, you know, it's just a wonderful growing up experience where they feel special and they feel like the world's looking at them, and that's really a good opportunity for them. Because everyone's looking at them not because they have Down syndrome, but because they were an actor. We were once in a store, and a bunch of girls were following Blair, and they were coming up to him, and I could see this happening. I was running across the store to try to get there because I had no idea what these three teen young adults were going to say or do. And they said to him, excuse me, were you on Nip Tuck? Can we have your autograph? And I was expecting, you know, teasing or making fun of him the whole time I was racing across. I had not changed the script that this was not about treating someone poorly. This was about being in awe of meeting a celebrity.
Wow. That's amazing, and I love to really love to hear that. And before we go, if you could give everybody, I know you mentioned it before, but if you can again give your website and give your Facebook page.
Sure, we're Down Syndrome and Arts and Media. The webpage is www.dsiam. I call it DSIAM. .org, and that's where you'll find how to register. I think the most important place to be is that Facebook page, which is facebook.com/actorswithdownsyndrome, no spaces. That's where you'll join the conversation, and you'll be able to see what's going on and see what's happening wherever it's happening. And I think it makes the people who are signed up feel connected to the community.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about right now. Like you were saying, they may get one audition every couple of years or whatever, but I really, really am hopeful, and I see that and believe that, you know, in the near future, more doors are going to open and there's going to be more opportunities, and they're going to start including them more and giving them opportunities to be, you know, extras, you know, or featured extras. And I'm really excited about what the future holds for individuals with special needs, and I want to thank you for everything that you've done to open doors, to help open doors for individuals with Down syndrome and developmental disabilities. And I'm truly inspired by what you do, and I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being with you. Thanks for such great questions, Yvonne.
Thank you, and you have a wonderful day.
Oh, I certainly will. Thanks.
Thank you.
I was meant to fly. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
Meant to fly.